Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, He called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today is Monday. No, I didn't.
The days can't slip past you.
Well, I've been so busy the last 2 days.
Traveling.
I guess I didn't even know the days had passed. Yeah, Wednesday, December the 4th, 2024 is today. And again, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Ed Vitagliano with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
There's some dates that never change.
Yeah.
You got Christmas is 25th, so you can always remember that.
Yeah, I can remember that.
Anniversaries never
change. You're talking to me like I'm already in the nursing home. I'm not there yet, okay? 61, got a few years. A few years from now, you can talk to me like that. Yeah. Dad, listen to me now. Eat your applesauce.
Oops-a-daisy, spilled a little on your chin. And I'm closer to that than you are.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas is exactly 3 weeks away.
Huh? Is that right?
Sure yeah. is.
Have you done all your shopping?
No, but I'm paying for it. My wife has been constantly texting
me. You are making a contribution.
Yes, I'm making a contribution, constantly texting me. And I'm thinking, you know, all these, you know, one
swipe,
pictures of stuff she gets for the grandkids.
Oh.
I think I've told you, my wife and I, we don't give each other Christmas presents.
Right.
Haven't in a long time.
Right.
I don't really need anything. And so it's all about the grandkids.
Yeah.
I think that our kids, we just give them
cash. So the budget
cash.
Didn't change. You just took your budget for
yes.
her and you. And
But I will kids. Say this. The more she sends me, the more I'm going, wait a second Make now. I don't know if these grandkids are worth it.
That's right. Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay, then. I don't want to get into that.
No.
Are these grandkids worth it?
They are.
They are worth
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
But I know.
There's a limit.
There should be still a limit even for.
I just don't want to contribute.
I know.
To the to the greed of my grandkids. Right. I don't want them to turn out to be materialistic.
Oh, I like the way that's going. Yeah. All right. So
nobody's buying this.
A lot to talk about on the program today. Some sad news to report, tragic news out of New York City this morning, right, Fred?
Yeah, this is breaking news out of New York City. The CEO of United Healthcare was shot and killed outside his hotel around 6:45 this morning. His name is Brian Thompson, just 50 years of age. Was the Hilton Hotel there in New York. All we know at this point, and there's supposed to be another police briefing in the next hour or so, eyewitnesses say a man walks up, shoots Brian Thompson as he's coming out of the hotel, and the shooter escapes on a bicycle. The shooter, as of this moment, is still on the loose. He was, as I say, CEO of United Healthcare. United Healthcare is the largest provider of Medicare Advantage plans in the country. So a big job, a big organization, and as I say, police are on the lookout for the shooter.
Okay.
Motivation, nobody knows at this point.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and speculate.
Okay.
Okay, that's all it is pure speculation. First of all, let me just say I'm so sorry for the family
yes.
of this gentleman. 50 years old, I'm probably married with kids, I would suspect. So his family members are having to find out about this, and it's all over the national news. But my speculation would be like a lot of us are thinking right now, somebody had a vendetta against him because they felt like they were wronged by United Healthcare. Is that a
Well, I mean,
crazy far-fetched.
No, that's not far-fetched. The only thing I would ask, and I'm just, I didn't know this until we walked in. Fred told us. So I looked up their headquarters. Their headquarters is in Minnetonka, Minnesota. So I might lean more towards what you're saying if New York City was the headquarters.
Okay.
But he was, I'm guessing, on some kind of trip.
Unless he was stalked.
He was going
that could be.
He was going to a meeting with shareholders. He was coming out of the hotel to go to this meeting with shareholders.
Then
who knows?
Then Tim, you might be right.
We don't know, except that, of course, New York City is a dangerous place. Right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes. Yeah.
As a lot of big cities in America are.
I'm reading a report.
Go ahead.
As we are talking about this.
But let me just say this. So to have an assailant on a bicycle, seemingly knowing who this fella is, instead, you know, it wasn't like he was mugged and robbed and got shot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes me think it was something targeted. Go ahead, Wesley.
It says here that his wife said that he had been receiving some threats.
And I'm looking at a Fox News, Fox Business story. Says sources told Fox News that the shooting was not a random incident.
Yeah.
Okay. So
they're going to find out who did it because they just will. By they, I mean like the FBI or somebody will probably find out.
She said, quote, "I just know that he said to me that there were some people that had been threatening him." I don't know. That could be at the event.
Right.
Could have been previous to that.
Right, right, right. So, again, Fred's reporting what the news media is reporting. This morning in New York City, the CEO of United Healthcare, which you said, Fred, they're the largest what?
They are the largest provider of Medicare Advantage plans. And if you're on Medicare, you know a little bit about those.
Right. We've had United Healthcare before here.
And that's just for our regular health insurance.
Yeah. Yes.
They're big. Yes. It's a big company.
Yes. They and Blue Cross Blue Shield, that's another big one. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the CEO was fatally shot outside a Manhattan hotel this morning, and they have yet to find the killer. So that's the breaking news. Sad, very sad for his family. Tragic news, and it's kind of scary too for New Yorkers. Out maybe they're used to things like this, but anyway, it's not good news.
Yes.
All right, what's your next story?
Well, the next story is also a big story, very important case before the United States Supreme Court this morning, and it has to do with a law in Tennessee against gender, and we'll call it, the mainstream media doesn't call it this, against gender mutilation of minors. This is another transgender case that's out there. And the federal government is challenging this Tennessee law aimed at protecting minors against their bodies being ripped apart under the banner of transgenderism. A kid says they feel like a boy says he feels like a girl. And there is compliance at certain levels with changing their bodies, giving them medication, all of this sort of thing. Our own Abe Hamilton, the American Family Association, has put an amicus brief in on this case because we love children and we want to protect children against things that many people feel they will regret at an older age. So a little bit from our own Abe Hamilton on the importance of this case. Cut number three.
We filed an amicus brief in this Supreme Court case, and we have state legislators from all around the country, in every state in the country, who's also passed laws similar to the state of Tennessee. So the issue, though Tennessee is the tip of the spear, so to speak, is going to have a reverberating impact, because if the United States Supreme Court were to rule that the state of Tennessee could not protect its minors from gender mutilation surgeries and transgender chemical castrations, then it would follow no state would be able to do so.
You know, I just looking at stories about this as the Supreme Court is hearing
right
arguments
this moment
on this. But there have been some reports already. People, news media, members of the media do text out or post on social media.
I've texted out many times in my life. It's Yes. It's, you know what I'm saying? You can get to the point
where you're just texted out.
You're texted out.
You're texted out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where you text out to other people or otherwise post on social media what's happening in the court right now. And one of the things that NBC News has said is that Chief Justice John Roberts questioning those who want this Tennessee law overturned, the pro-transgender attorneys, that Justice Roberts said that the Supreme Court might not be best situated to address issues like that. Doesn't that make a stronger case for us, meaning the Supreme Court, to leave those determinations to the legislative bodies rather than trying to determine them for ourselves? Which I think is, now, just because a Supreme Court justice, in this case the Chief Justice, asks questions that might indicate which way John Roberts is thinking, it doesn't always hold true. Sometimes they're just doing their due diligence and they question both sides. But I think that's a great argument.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how this is a constitutional issue. I don't think the Constitution addresses this in any way, shape, or form, even though the Supreme Court has ruled on the transgender issue before. Now, sometimes the Supreme Court is forced to rule when there is a conflict between a federal statute and a state law. That may be where these folks are going with this challenge to Tennessee's law. But that's a great argument. I mean, you've got to trust legislatures to deliberate, to look at the evidence, and not always, you know, throw it to a federal court.
So kind of like what you're saying, like the Dobbs decision, perhaps?
In the Dobbs decision, the challenge was to overturn a prior Supreme Court ruling.
Right.
And
right.
They used a state law to challenge and ask for it to be overturned.
Right.
Anyway, I think that's a great argument posed by Roberts. That doesn't necessarily indicate that he would.
So, just to lay it out, of course, this decision won't be announced till February. February, or round in there. So, but what's at stake here is the law passed by the state of Tennessee and signed by their governor was to protect children, minors, 18 and under, from
gender mutilation.
Yes, there. Thank you. Surgeries being done on them, irreversible, even.
Yes.
Regardless of the parent's consent.
Right.
Yeah.
Or taking chemicals.
Or even if a parent wants to do it to their
kid. Yes, I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Then what Tennessee's saying is no parent, you cannot irreversibly
change,
mutilate this child because they may or may not want it later in life.
Right. Can't do it. And so the pro transgendered, forced transgenderism took them to court. Took the state of Tennessee to court, and that's
the federal government, the Biden administration, is fighting this Tennessee law.
Yeah, another reason why, thankfully, Biden and Harris are out.
Yeah,
because think about this: the federal government, via the president and the vice president, well, not via, but they're the ones imposing this agenda, and they're wanting to force the state of Tennessee to not protect their children.
Right,
and it's not just the state of Tennessee. This decision will affect about 20 or 25 other states
who passed laws.
Yes. Who have passed laws on this. Yeah.
Now, the argument from the pro-trans side, they argue that this kind of treatment, puberty blockers and surgeries, is necessary to preserve the mental health of the child who really is trans.
Right.
Okay? And so part of this battle, I think this is why Justice Roberts was saying we're not best situated to address issues like that, like this, because you have some European countries who were further down the road in promoting puberty blockers.
This very thing.
Yeah, this very thing. And now they've reversed course.
Yeah.
Because they said, no, kids wind up worse off mentally, you know, in terms of mental illness. And we're, and the consequences of giving kids these chemicals is unknown.
So it's unknown both here. It's unknown in the States, but on the other hand, we do have other countries that have done it, and they've been done much further down the road, and yeah. So they said we don't want to go any further than this. This is our line. We're saying this isn't working.
And some of them have reversed course.
Okay, gotcha.
And they have banned these kinds of treatments for children, and they say, listen. After 18 years old, you know, you're an adult. You do whatever you want within limits.
Yeah.
But you can't do this to kids who have no say.
Yes.
Yeah, anyway, pray about that because that's a big case.
It sure is.
And we better be glad that there's – I think we'll win that. I think the state of Tennessee and the other states will be – their laws to protect kids will be upheld.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of the Supreme Court. Again, this goes – this goes to show you, you know, I know it's Brother Tim always harping on the judges, you know, during the presidential election. And there are a multitude of issues why people vote the way they do, the economy, national defense, security, the border, whatever, inflation. But I always make it a point to say that it's the president who decides who the Supreme Court is. Who the Supreme Court justices are. When they come available, they appoint them. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, and the federal appellate courts all over America, which are just as important. Why? Because that only 3%, 2 to 3% of all the cases ever reach the Supreme Court.
Right.
So I say that to say this. If you voted for President Trump in 2016, you helped save the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. That is a fact.
If you voted for President Trump against Vice President Harris, you helped to save the Supreme Court going forward. And it's am I overstating that?
No, that is absolutely true. The other side knows this. And I would just add one additional thing, and then, we can move on or all kinds of other stories. This is also a case where if the Supreme Court wanted to, they can rule more broadly on this issue of transgender and whether or not schools can allow men to play sports on women's teams. So when Tim says, folks, pray about this, that a good decision in line, whether they state it this way or not, but a good decision which lines up with the created order that God has instituted comes out of this case.
Yeah, because and a little bit of a different angle to this is absolutely demonic. Yeah. What they're wanting to do. Jesus himself said, if you harm one of these little children or you lead them astray, it would be better that a millstone be wrapped around your neck and you thrown into the ocean.
Yes.
Those are the words of Jesus. And obviously we're covering this from a legislative standpoint or a court case standpoint, but what they're wanting to do is demonic.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
Well, this is another story that kind of broke overnight. Wall Street Journal is reporting this story. New York Post. The story is that Trump's selection, his nomination to be defense secretary, a young man by the name of Pete Hegseth. If you've watched Fox over the last couple of years, you're probably very familiar with Pete Hegseth, decorated military guy, and a lot of respect amongst conservatives. However, since being nominated, there are reports, for the most part, which are not in dispute, of Pete Hegseth's behavior in the last 10 years. And it has to do with reports of allegations of sexual assault, et cetera, et cetera. So Pete Hegseth is on Capitol Hill this week doing what nominees do. They're going around and meeting with senators. There are reports, and this Wall Street Journal is reporting that at least 6 senators have real problems with Pete Hegseth. It may not just be about these reports of his behavior with women in the past, but also he's fairly young. So there's a couple of reasons. One of those senators who has expressed concerns about some of Trump's nominees is Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville. And we have
he's a Trump fan.
Yes. Very
solid
so.
Conservative.
Yeah.
And of course, he has spoken out about concerns about this.
About what this individual
about Pete Hegseth.
Okay. Go ahead.
Now, what the Wall Street Journal is reporting this morning is that they say Trump has already put together a follow-up list, like Matt Gaetz, who did not make it through his nomination. I think Trump is concerned, apparently, that Pete Hegseth may run into the same problem. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that on Trump's short list includes Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. All of this not confirmed. Now, I have to say, I saw an interview with Pete Hegseth this morning. He responded to reporters asking questions about this. He said he had a conversation with Mr. Trump this morning, and Mr. Trump told him to continue making his case that he should be the next defense secretary. Now, added to all of this, on Fox this morning was an interview with Pete Hegseth's mom, Penelope Hegseth. The reason she was there is that the New York Times, in the last couple of days, have published an email that Penelope Hegseth wrote to her son back in 2018. And I want to read you a little bit about what was in this. And she's not disputing that she wrote this, all right? She says, I'm quoting this email, on behalf of all the women, and I know it's many, you have abused in some way, I say get some help and take an honest look at yourself, she wrote. She also wrote, I have no respect for any man that belittles, lies, cheats, sleeps around, and uses women for his own power and ego. You are that man and have been for years, and as your mother, it pains me and embarrasses me to say that, but it is the sad, sad truth. Again, she is not disputing. Now, there's a whole story behind how did the New York Times get a hold of this personal email between a mom and her son? That's another story, and I have Steve Jordahl kind of working on how do we find that out. But anyway, I wanted to play you a little bit of what Penelope Hegseth had to say this morning. She said she wrote that 6 years ago, but she said Pete Hegseth is a different man today. So I wanted to play you a little bit of what she had to say. Cut number two.
We all believe in him. We really believe that he is not that man he was 7 years ago. I'm not that mother. And I hope people will hear that story today and the truth of that story. So the other thing I want to say is I am here to tell the truth, to tell the truth to the American people and tell the truth to the senators on the Hill, right, especially our female senators. I really hope that you will not listen to the media and that you will listen to Pete.
Well, and you're here to tell us because you are in the news now. So yeah. Why did you write that email in 2018?
Right. Well, let's
what
go
was
back,
going on?
Right. Let's go back 7 years, which if we all went back 7 years, we would see that maybe we were not the people we are today. But they were going through, Pete and his wife at the time, were going through a very difficult divorce. It was a very emotional time, and I'm sure many of you across the country understand how difficult divorce is on a family. There's emotions. We say things, and I wrote that in haste.
All right, there you have it. Boy.
How does a personal email from mother to son get leaked to the media?
Well, there's only two ways that I can think of. One is that the New York Times or someone else hacked her account and got it and then sent it to the New York Times. Or the New York Times found out who her carrier was and said, hey, this is news. We'd like you to give us access.
Yeah, but who went through and read all that just to get to that one email?
Somebody who hates Trump, I guess.
Yeah, could it be another reason? Could maybe Pete Hegseth or his mom sent that to somebody confidentially and...
Maybe it's, I don't know how this happened. Maybe Steve will find out.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
In many ways, abortion was on the ballot this past election, and there's reason for concern. There are many counties, cities, and states who have radicalized abortion, and thousands of tiny babies will continue to lose their lives every day. Which is why the Ministry of Preborn is on the front lines for at-risk babies and mothers with unplanned pregnancies. Preborn sponsors clinics positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country by providing them with the resources they need to rescue babies. Preborn continues to expand their life-affirming care. Their end-of-year goal is to equip 10 more clinics with ultrasound machines. These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most clinics can afford. When a woman meets her baby on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. And when she comes to a Preborn Network clinic, she will also be embraced with God's love. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and now through a match, your gift is doubled. How many babies can you save? Please donate. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. It is December 4th, 2024. Ed Vitagliano, Tim Wildman, Wesley Wildman, and Fred Jackson. Folks, how you doing on that Christmas shopping? 3 weeks, no pressure. Don't want you to feel any pressure at all, but you only have 3 weeks. What's that?
Ours are already bought and wrapped.
Are they? And I know you did a lot on that, didn't you, Tim? Are yours really?
You know, there is a Fifth Amendment. We have a Fifth Amendment in America.
Are you telling the truth? Because your wife, Allison, is that go-getter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and also, too, she still raps.
Yeah.
Think about that, because, that's a surprise to me, because I go get bags.
That's kind of what we do.
I don't care how big, if I have to tear apart a bag and tape three together. Just to get a big bag. we're not wrapping anything. It's all bag.
Wrapping, listen, we do the same thing with bags. Now, we do wrap big presents.
Okay.
And all I do is I hand my wife the tape. Okay, another piece of tape. She does the wrapping. But I was never good at wrapping, and wrapping is the biggest waste of time and money.
I was good
100%
at freestyle.
Freestyle. Freestyle. I could never get it right.
Freestyle rapping.
Oh, mine always looked like a 10-year-old did it.
Wesley did.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking. Anyway. All right.
Yo. Okay.
Now I get it. Freestyle.
You get it,
rapping.
Baby boomer?
Yes. Okay. That's not bad. I like freestyle rapping.
All right. We have got a lot to talk about. Continuing on here, we were saying that before the break. Okay, so President Trump, announced Pete Hegseth as his nominee for Secretary of Defense, which is a big-time cabinet-level position. I mean, that's a big job right there. And so Pete Hegseth, who's been on Fox News for three or four years, I guess, with his show, which a lot of people enjoy, and I do too when I get a chance to watch it. I think he does an excellent job. So, but there's some question about whether he, because of
there's a combination of things. I mean, it's also
the reason he may not get confirmed.
That's right. You've got two things. You've got a combination of these types of allegations and emails and things that are coming up. Now, again, as Fred pointed out, those are separate discussions about how much of this disqualifies him from him doing his job?
Character questions.
So you got character questions. It's kind of coming up as a distraction, like the Matt Gaetz situation. That's kind of how this is beginning to develop a little bit. But then on the other hand, something that we've all said from the very beginning, as much as we liked his position on of getting wokeness out of the military,
I like
day
everything
one,
he says about it.
Yes, we all like that. there was also a hesitation day one when we got the announcement about his
lack of experience.
Lack of experience. Yep.
Yeah, he's only in his 40s, P-Tech.
For that position.
For that position. Yeah. And he's not been a senior officer
right.
in the military. Does that matter or not? I don't know. So we've had...
I'm back and forth on that because yeah. there are parts of me that's like, I don't want to just next in line go on to carry on, because you could also say it's not going well that way. Breaking it up a little bit. But there are also reasons... for being able to have.
Yeah, and I will say this too, the founders of our country wanted the military to fall under the civilian authority, not a military authority. Now, Secretary of Defense is not the president,
sure,
not the commander-in-chief, so it technically that is not, principle is not being violated. But still, there have been, and we've listed them, there have been examples, many examples in the past, of people that have served as Secretary of Defense who have not been career military.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but we'll see what happens with him. President Trump had to withdraw Matt Gaetz because Matt Gaetz didn't have the votes in the Senate. And my guess is if Pete Hegseth.
That was for Attorney General.
For Attorney General. So with Pete here, I don't know him personally, I'm calling him Pete, but if he doesn't have the votes, Trump will find out soon enough, and he'll pull his nomination and put somebody else up, such as perhaps Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, who may or may not be
interested
in that job. But I kind of, DeSantis, the governor of Florida now, he's got 2 years left in his term. He's 6 years into a two-term governorship. But he does have military experience.
Correct. Yeah, he worked JAG. I think he dealt with prisoners down at Guantanamo Bay, et cetera.
He was all in Iraq, too.
Yeah.
Not in combat.
No, he's judicial
yeah.
Yeah.
side of things.
So we'll see what happens there. I hope Pete Hegseth makes it. But if he doesn't, Ron DeSantis would be a good choice.
Mm-hmm. He'd be a good position. Choice for anything.
Yeah,
about Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, DeSantis has a future in leadership in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
Where that lands ultimately, I don't know. Of course, being the governor of Florida is a pretty big deal.
Yeah,
too. But he challenged Trump, didn't win because
barely. Well, yeah,
no, he got his tail beat.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I meant that was before. You're right about that. There was a time there early on where it was a close race until Trump got prosecuted and they raided Mar-a-Lago.
Yes, the Democrats decided it'd be Trump and DeSantis were basically tied.
That's what I was talking.
Yes, you're right. In February of whatever year that was, mm-hmm. after the election. And then
they raided Mar-a-Lago.
Everything's after the election because there's always another election, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and then you're right. Then Trump started getting these court cases against That's him. Right. The Democrats thought that'll be a great idea. We'll take him down with court cases.
Which I thought was going to work.
Yeah, I know. but it didn't. And that's when Trump began to separate from DeSantis, if you remember.
That's right.
Because,
and then
one going away.
And then,
what I'm saying is, despite the fact that DeSantis did lose to Trump, he still has a future, as young as he is, I think, in some role in a leadership position in the Republican Party. And who knows? He may serve in the Trump administration. I think, as you say, Wesley, I think he would be, Governor DeSantis would be a great addition in several capacities in the Trump administration. If, from what I understand, Trump and DeSantis have, they worked out their differences from the primary season. And I think I was reading DeSantis' lips the other day as he was walking away from Trump. He says, if you ever need me, De Sanctimonious is at your service, sir. I thought that was – I was reading lips, so I don't know. I may have got it wrong. But,
yeah.
All right. So
you're a talented guy.
Huh?
Freelance rapper.
Freestyle rapper.
Freestyle rapper.
And lip reader.
Freelance writer.
Now, that was a boomer thing to say.
That was. I think we got a guest.
All right, we have a guest. This topic we're about to cover is...
Yeah, we need a parental advisory.
That's what
here.
I'm going to say. When we talk about some subjects, we have to tell people ahead of time. Young children don't need to be listening. This is one of them, right?
Yes. So if you have little ones listening, you may want to turn the channel and then return in about 10 minutes. But we do want to introduce to the program Nick Stumbo, who's executive director of Pure Desire, because we're going to talk about some statistics that came across my desk from Pure Desire Ministries, I don't know, several weeks ago, talking about Christian use of pornography. You can believe this. So, Nick, first of all, welcome to today's issues.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, tell us a little bit about Pure Desire Ministries before we kind of dive into this topic. What is your ministry? Where you're located? What do you do? How long you've been in existence? That kind of thing.
Sure. We were founded by a pastor, Dr. Ted Roberts, who wrote the book Pure Desire in the late 1990s. And his heart was just to minister to the men and women in his church that were struggling with pornography and compulsive sexual behaviors. And that led to us becoming a nonprofit ministry in 2007. So we're officially 17 years old, but our mission is to really help the church become that safe place for men and women who are struggling with compulsive sexual behaviors and for the spouses that are dealing with the betrayal and the broken trust that comes because of that. So we're primarily a small group curriculum is how we help the church. And then we also have a team of counselors that help people that really need that professional care to walk through the betrayal and addiction that comes with pornography use. So we're here for the church. We're biblically based, and we're really effective at helping people find lasting freedom.
Well, now, obviously, the Christian, anybody who's studied the Bible for any length of time knows that the Christian is called to purity. That includes sexual purity. But we also know that people fail at that. Christians do as well. Your ministry started in the early 90s. I guess the only place you could basically get pornography is if you went to a 7-Eleven or you ordered it online or you went to an adult bookstore. Now it is ubiquitous. I mean, anyone, literally, even our
Absolutely.
Children and grandchildren can
Yep.
get access to the worst forms of this. So is pornography making inroads in the church in a greater way than when your ministry started?
Unfortunately, it absolutely is. You know, we did some research with the Barna Group this past year and found out that 54% of all Christians, that includes men and women, would say that they struggle to some degree with pornography. So that's 75% of Christian men, 44% of Christian women. So it's not just a man's issue, it's a people problem. And I think we're seeing a tremendous shift in the church where in our inability to really find freedom from it, because as you said, it's everywhere, it's at our fingertips, and Christian men and women are still human beings with God-given brains that desire sexual pleasure, and that I think easily leads to making sinful, bad choices. And there's so little help available in the church. It's talked about so infrequently that I think we've come to this point of just accepting, well, we're going to struggle, it's going to happen, and that's reflected in the data that we're seeing that really does reflect about a 11% growth since a similar study was done in 2016.
Nick, this is Wesley here. So with the numbers that you just gave, that means there's a good chance someone listening has or currently or knows someone. So what's the first step? If they're listening now and they want to do something about it, what's the first step?
I think the first step is we've got to recognize we can't beat this alone. This isn't a problem that we just pray about and try harder, or even just confessing to one other person while confessing is great. This problem really thrives in secrecy and isolation. Mm. And yet so many of us, and this is my story too, we think, okay, I just need to try harder to, you know, have accountability software and not go there on my computer. I'll just fight this battle on my own. And yet we're still doing it in secrecy and isolation. And that's why we really encourage people to join a group. And we have 1,200 churches around the country with groups. And we're helping churches all the time start a group, because we've seen that when there's an intentional group process where people know you and know what you're going through and support you, and you're able to tell your whole story in a very honest, straightforward way, that really leads people into freedom.
Where do people go online to look at your the help you're talking about there, Nick?
Yes, you can find us at puredesire.org. That's puredesire.org, and we've got all kinds of free resources and downloads, including an ebook that's called Five Steps to Freedom from Pornography, and you could grab that today and answer that question as well. Where do I start? What do I do? And that's the whole point of that ebook.
Amen. One last question, Nick, and then we'll let you go. Are you seeing an increase amongst Christians? And I know that one of the things that George Barna does so well is he tries to differentiate in his surveys between people who simply say they're Christian and people who actually are born again and hold a biblical worldview. So this is just kind of a broad-based question. Do you see a difference over the last, let's say, 10 years amongst Christians who don't think they have a problem, that there's no problem with pornography, that they're not hurting anybody, and this it isn't something that's a spiritual issue? Is that view changing, or for the most part, are these Christians who know it's wrong but can't get free?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of both, but unfortunately, one of the questions we asked was, how comfortable are you with the amount of pornography you're using? And this was asked only of Christians, practicing Christians, that acknowledge they use pornography to some degree. And half of them, 49%, said that they are comfortable with how much pornography they use. And only 21% said they wish they didn't use pornography at all. And so that's where I was mentioning, I think we are seeing a broader acceptance, even among practicing Christians. And in my opinion, that has a lot to do with a rationalization that says, I've tried to stop. I've tried to beat it. I'm only doing it once in a while. And so I'm just kind of deciding it's not that big of a deal. But to me, there's an opportunity here. There's a window where the church can shine the light of hope and truth and say, no, we can beat this. We can be above this and we can do it together. And that's what we're here to help people do. And we hope this report, this new data, convicts people to say, we've got to do something about this.
So, Nick, Tim here, at what age does this temptation go away?
Well, I think a lot of listeners know the sad truth is that there is no age where this goes away.
No. You need to give me an age. I need 70, 80.
Do
you have 80-year-old men coming to you? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
A gentleman joined my group, and he was 81 years old.
Oh,
and
word.
He was still doing the same pattern of going to an adult bookstore that had happened when he was 20 years old in the military is when it had started. And that's just the truth of this behavior is if we don't address it, it follows us through life. And we've joked with guys coming in to say, that 80-year-old, man, I'm sure glad you're facing this at 80 because this is really hard to face when you're 90.
I know.
So let's get a handle on it now and find freedom.
What I'm not trying to make light of it.
It's a good point you're making, though. That's a great question.
I'm not trying to make light of people who have pornography addiction problems, okay? I'm just saying, listen, you don't have to be a porn addict to go to the grocery store and there's a half-naked woman in two magazines right in front of your face, and you didn't ask for that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or you go go out to dinner, and there's women dressed like streetwalkers.
Right.
You didn't ask for that either.
Exactly.
Okay? I'm just saying, and I know women have their own issues. You said 42% of women.
44%. Yes.
Christian women.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then that's pretty stunning to me. I would think. But you know what? I was also thinking about this the other day. We were thinking about the sexualization of the pop culture,
right?
Out there. I mean, Taylor Swift's out there. She's the number one pop star in America. When she gets on stage, her dress is up to her, almost up to her.
It's above her knee.
It's above her knee. It's mid thigh. I'm just
above.
Saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
I'm just saying the sexualization of our
entertainers
is everywhere. And to guard your heart and your mind and your eyes is a challenge.
It's not an easy task.
It's a challenge. But I would say this. I was thinking about this the other day. You know how we make fun of people who are Puritans are dressed real conservative, or you know, are become monks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't make fun of them, but you apparently do. Go ahead.
Well, what I'm saying is, I can see how people would in past years. Why you say women, you need to dress modestly.
Yes, absolutely.
It sounds
they were right, weren't they?
They were right.
They were
because
right.
You're going like, oh, come on, man, you're too legalistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going, no. No, women need to dress. Women and young ladies, girls, need to dress.
Modestly.
Modestly. And anyway, that's just what I wanted
to say.
Nick wanted to say something.
Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
Go ahead.
That may be a part of the conversation, but I think what we're seeing in today's world, and you guys mentioned this, it's everywhere. Every single one of us is one click away from stupid, and we have not been equipped to handle that level of temptation around us. And I think, unfortunately, we may still be in a mode that says, well, we need to put filters on our world and on our devices, and if we could just keep it away from us. But the truth is, you can't so well filter the world around you to keep it away. Because you mentioned it's everywhere. That filter needs to be on our heart. And that's so much of what we try to do in a group environment is help people see what's going on inside of me. Help me answer the why question of why do I keep doing this, even though I know it's not good for me, it's not good for my faith, it's harming relationships. What's going on in this internal side of me? And as we start to identify some of those heart-level issues and things that have been driving our behaviors maybe for decades, that's where real change comes, not just by changing the environment around us, but by changing the thought patterns and the beliefs that are going on inside of us.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Our guest has been Nick Stumbo, who's executive director of Pure Desire Ministries. Folks, whether you're having struggles with pornography or not, or maybe you just know someone, puredesire.org, puredesire.org. is a place you need to check out. If you're just curious about this topic,
asking for a friend.
Just asking for
a friend.
We're all
getting a help for a friend. Yes.
Asking for a friend.
Hey, Nick, not only thank you for being on with us today, but thank you for what Pure Desire Ministries is doing.
Yeah, the work they're doing.
Because that is just invaluable. We can't have Christians in bondage to this extent if we're wanting to turn this country around with the gospel.
Another thing we can't do is lessen the standard.
Right.
We can't lessen the biblical standard, if that's the right way to say it, just because temptations are greater.
Yes. Okay? You're right.
Because the God spoke in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, about living holy.
Yes.
And righteous. And so we have to strive for that each and every day. Right.
Yes. Amen.
And we can't say, we can't make excuses. Well, just because that or the other, therefore I'm excused from having that standard applied to me. So anyway,
hey, thank you so much. Yeah. Go ahead, Jesus
promised us freedom and he still can be trusted. And I appreciate you having me on. I'd love to do it again.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
Yeah. Who's that?
Thanks, guys.
Who's that?
That's Nick Stumbo, Executive Director of Pure Desire Ministries. Folks, this is just a wonderful thing. If you want your church to open the doors to people who are struggling, Nick said that they have curricula available.
I got to tell you something funny.
By the way, that was a funny question you asked.
What's that?
Really about to tell me it goes away.
Oh.
And what was the age?
At what age will this stop?
Right. So this is related. Okay, so I get these. I order on the internet, and so.
Why do I feel like I need to save you already?
Well, how do I say this? I don't want to get too much into it.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just say this.
What may be funny.
I get magazines sent to my house that I didn't order.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? And this company thinks they're doing me a favor. This company orders something else for our thinks, well, we'll throw in some free magazines.
Yes.
For our customers who sign up or who order from us.
Right.
For this other product. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So they send me free magazines to my house. With my name on them.
Right.
That I didn't order.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And they're like, they're not pornographic magazines in the sense that, you know, they're Playboy or something like that. But they are like these fashion magazines with half-naked girls on the front. are half dressed androgynous people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's some weird, freaky picture. You know what I'm saying?
And you're a postal delivery person.
That's what I'm saying. Allison had to go tell him one time.
Yeah.
Had to go tell our postman, the postal delivery guy, who's a Christian. He knows who I am. And he's going, and I'm going like, you need to go tell him.
Right now.
I didn't order those magazines.
He caught by at 11:42, and you need to be out there.
Yes, because I feel like, well, wouldn't you?
Explain yourself. Oh, absolutely.
Wouldn't you feel like you need to go out there and tell him, I didn't order these magazines?
Now, I got to
say. Uh-huh, sure.
Oh, yeah, I hear that all the time.
Right.
I also want to say, I don't even know if I get magazines, because my wife, she goes, she gets the mail.
Oh, and chunks them?
I guess.
Well, you don't. Well, anyway, they only last like 3 months because I don't subscribe to them. They sure. send them free. They're trying to get you to order their magazines.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're sending this to the wrong demographic, man. you're sending me Glamour and Elle and.
Well, she didn't have that problem. She has a problem with too many hunting magazines that come in.
Oh, hunting yeah. magazines? Well, no, we don't.
Well, it's what's weird is when you search on the internet. If you search for a health product, I think I looked up one time whether, you know, like the vitamins you get, the supplements.
Right.
Whether those actually work. Whether they actually work. And after that, I started getting inundated with advertisements, not just for supplements, but for everything.
Oh, they knew.
Yes.
Mr. Google, he knew where you were going. Yeah. That's why he was sending you...
So it's true.
That's why they do those cookies. Everybody does called
yeah,
cookies?
Yeah, cookies.
Everybody's got cookie. Every site you go to is like huge cookie alert.
Yeah.
Yes. And they say, do you care if we've tracked you?
Yes.
That's what they're asking you.
And we're going to sell your information.
And we're going to sell your information. All right. So there you go. All right, Fred, anything to add to all this?
No, I'm an old guy.
Okay. Okay, well. All right. Well, listen, we'll be back in 5 minutes, everybody. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.